Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Max Verstappen's cousin, Craig Hohner, or Gary Hohner. I forget what my name was from those mysterious flowers I got last week.
Yeah, it was Gary.
But we are going to talk Formula One. We are going to talk about how I forgot to get a trivia question from anybody, and I am fresh out. So instead of doing trivia, let's give a shout out to my buddy from college, Ryan, who clearly is going to win our Grid Rival League after this weekend and is second in the world out of like 14,000 people with a pretty good chance, very close. He could easily win this week. He could win everything. I don't know if there's a prize for that. Like last year, I don't know if there's prizes for this. But like I said last week, I think, and like I told Ryan, I said I will at least Venmo him for a beer if I don't get to see him next week when I'm in Philly. So that's pretty cool. Have somebody you know that high up in the world. It's definitely not me. My lineup did not do particularly well last week. But Frenchie, we got to talk.
Your predictions did.
Duh, I'm amazing. You can tell I'm starting to feel better. Where do we start with Brazil?
Oh, I've got it. Like, I actually had to write notes down because so much happened that I did it by chronological order of laps for the stuff that I think we need
Let's
to discuss.
It.
Okay, so obviously we saw Kevin Magnussen take the pole position, which was really cool. I don't remember if we talked about that or if we, we couldn't have talked about that because we recorded before that. So that was awesome for Haas. Cool for Kevin Magnussen. Obviously, the conditions helped him get that pole, but, I mean, he was quick. So, I think it made Mick look even worse, unfortunately.
Man, that's so depressing. It's such a bummer. I mean, it's no secret I've been rooting for him as a Michael Schumacher fan, and he just doesn't have it. I don't know if it's him or the car or the team. I think there's been some cases this year where the team has clearly prioritized Kevin over Mick. But yes, I just ate a piece of a cupcake while I sit here talking, recording. I don't know if you noticed that, but
I did, but no one else would have if you didn't say anything.
Anyway, continue on.
Okay, so obviously he got the pole, and then I wanted to also just mention, because I thought it was important, that Ferrari had Leclerc on intermediate tires for way longer than he needed to be in qualifying when it was clearly faster to be on softs, like full dry tires. And that was just really confusing.
But not
a surprise.
It's infuriating. The level of incompetence this team shows on a week-by-week basis is just mind-numbing.
Yeah, and we'll get to, I think, maybe some of the implications of that later on when I get to the more general news, but I think we'll just focus on Brazil for now. So we get to lap one of the race, and I don't know what Daniel Ricciardo was doing, but he wrecks Kevin Magnussen, basically, and takes them both out of the race on lap one, turn eight. Any thoughts
stupid.
About that, or
let's just leave it at that.
So really unfortunate for Magnussen, who I think could have had a decent race and gotten some points for Haas, but Oh, well. Next up, we saw on, I guess it was lap 7, we saw Max and Lewis collide in a very similar fashion to the way that they have in many previous incidents. Neither of them seems to be willing to learn from that mistake and give an inch of room. And that was coming out of the Senna S's. And so we'll get into that a little bit more about who ended up with the penalty there and why and what we think about that. But just to kind of cover the cadence of the race, also on lap 7, just a couple of corners later, we saw the other McLaren of Lando Norris take out Charles Leclerc, and Leclerc went into the barrier pretty hard, but was somehow able to continue on.
Yeah, that was surprising.
And then 2 laps later, lap 9, Lance Stroll ran Sebastian Vettel into the grass. And I just want to read a comment on this one, because I think this will pretty much cover what our reactions were going to be. Jacques Villeneuve, in his column somewhere, I think it's in French. So, yeah, I don't read that, but
what?
It's been translated for us. So he said, what I'm excited about is Lance Stroll and the penalty system of the FIA. And I don't know if that's sarcasm or not. Max Verstappen was given a 5-second penalty while he was not given any space by Lewis. It was aggressive from both sides, a racing incident in my view. But Lance Stroll received a 10-second penalty for a life-threatening maneuver. The way he swings and blocks, that shouldn't be allowed. That's not racing. He did it in Austin, and in Mexico he was aggressive with Gasly, and now this. The FIA doesn't punish this hard enough, not even in the Junior Series, and so it keeps happening. Sebastian Vettel, his teammate and the victim of the incident, is a true gentleman, but I don't think Fernando Alonso will be so calm next year.
What can I possibly add on to that that he didn't already say?
Exactly. That's why I figured it's better to just read what Jacques said, because he nailed it. Lance was driving like an asshole, and to do it to your teammate is especially bad. I mean, the guy's on his way out of F1, but I definitely think he's right that there's going to be some fireworks between Stroll and Alonso next year, because Alonso does not keep his feelings or his displeasure with his teammate, especially right now with Ocon, a secret.
Yeah. Yeah, I have nothing to add.
All right, so then we went a while in the race without any, you know, incidents or a lot of crazy action. But on lap 53 of 71, I guess Lando Norris retired at some point due to an electrical failure. And he said he had food poisoning anyway and was starting to really lose it physically. So it was kind of lucky that he ended his race there. But we saw a weird situation where Yuki Tsunoda was allowed to like partially unlap himself, but not fully. And the FIA has clarified why that happened, and it makes no sense.
Shocking.
So here's what they said. Car 22, who's obviously Yuki, was the first to cross following the deployment of the safety car. So, like, some kind of signal or what is it called?
Sensor.
He was first to cross that. And then on the following lap, he became the first car to cross that line for a second time, which would normally trigger the systems to indicate he's eligible to unlap. However, then he entered the pit lane and was able to go faster than the train of cars behind the safety car. So he unlapped himself for a second because he passed the finish line before everybody else got there under safety car. And so then it just confused them, I guess, and their sophisticated, I don't know, computer system. And instead of letting him basically unlap himself again, the argument is that, okay, well, he unlapped himself once in the pit lane, and so that takes care of that, and he's not allowed to do it again.
Oh, my God. Just, this is my biggest frustration this year, and I am almost sick and tired of it. the FIA, again, it's just making up rules as they go. And it's like, well, you know, we pay like $64 billion for this expensive software, but like, we don't really know how to use it. Like, last week, our IT guy was playing Pokemon Go and forgot how to work it in Brazil. He got distracted by Pikachu. So, you know, it's just embarrassing that stuff like this happens. And it's, I mean, like, yes, this race was actually pretty good, but all in all, I can't wait for this year to be over with F1, because the FIA is just pathetic. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And I'm going to stop rambling because we have a lot to get to.
We do. So just a few laps later on lap 66, we saw the Red Bull teammates swap positions because Checo was on mediums and I guess was basically unable to catch, I think it was Alonso in front of him and Leclerc, and they wanted to see if Max, who was on softs at that point, would be able to go. I think he was on softs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty sure he was. And so he was supposed to be able to go take some points off Leclerc. And then when he was unable to pass them, the team started to order him to let Checo back, because obviously Checo had given up that position to Max for a reason. And then when that reason had not come to fruition, it was only fair technically to, you know, give Checo back the result that he had worked for. But Max didn't feel like doing that. And his statement, I'm going to read it now. Everyone probably was watching, but what he said was pretty, I mean, he just ignored a bunch of commands from the team to let him through. And then eventually he goes, I told you already last time, you guys don't ask that to me again. Okay. Are we clear about that? I gave my reasons and I stand by it. All right. Number one, this was for what? Sixth place?
Middle of the top 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that didn't matter for Max Verstappen in his title. I mean, he clinched it already. He doesn't need these points. He wasn't going to win either. So I don't understand why it was a big deal for him to let his teammate through. There wasn't even, you know, the chance of a podium. The reason that everyone's speculating is that Max apparently, and we have not had confirmation of this, thinks that Checo crashed on purpose at turn 8, the Portier in Monaco, qualifying back in, I guess that was May, so that he could essentially solidify his qualifying position, and Max then qualified behind him. And obviously Ferrari bungled their strategy completely at that race, and it allowed Perez, who had qualified third, to win. But I guess apparently that Verstappen's people have said that Checo has actually admitted guilt to the team management. That he did it on purpose. And I've seen the onboards. He gets on the gas at a weird point. Maybe we can tweet those out or something. If you haven't seen them, just maybe message us. What do you think about this whole situation? There's a lot of weird stuff that happened. Even Max's mom got involved and like reignited those allegations that Checo had cheated on his wife.
Really?
After the race, yeah, I can. I didn't show you,
might
that.
Have. Obviously, it's not been a good week, so I don't really remember.
What did she say? But, yeah, she deleted it, but it was. I think it was on. I'm sure there's screenshots somewhere, but obviously Checo was really upset. He said it shows who, you know, he really is. I have nothing to say after all I've done for him. It's disappointing. But yeah, this was on Instagram. So that she did this, and then in the evening cheating on his wife. My God. Yeah, there's a screenshot in this story that I'm looking at. But I don't know. They were both mad at each other. Who was in the right here? Is there someone in the right here?
No.
What do you think?
I don't think there's anybody, you know, right or in this case. I don't know. I don't think. You listen, Checo saying like, oh, he'd be a two-time world champion. He wouldn't be a two-time world championship with a champion without me. Maybe a little overblown. Max is still in a Red Bull car, and he might be an ass, but he's still very good. But I know there's data out there for Monaco, like car data. I didn't really look at it, but the summation I saw was, no, he did not spin on purpose. So I feel like this is just a case where everybody looks like an idiot. You're just enhancing the reputation that Red Bull has gotten over the last couple years. And meanwhile, Christian Horner's joining the FIA and playing Pokemon Go and not saying anything. I'm going to go with that.
Do you think that it would, I mean, what other than Max basically trying to exert control and power and show that he's really the person that can get away with anything at Red Bull, is there any other reason than his ego, essentially, and maybe this fake vendetta he has against Perez for him refusing to give up one place to his teammate and just cooperate? Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it's pretty pathetic, I would say, behavior that's almost akin to throwing a tantrum.
Yep.
And, I mean, can you imagine how easy, like, we wouldn't be talking about this. There wouldn't have been this issue at all had he just let his teammate back by for sixth place.
That would be accurate, yes. Yes, sir.
I think Perez would be happy with that. Like, he wasn't asking for that much.
Yeah, it's just, like, I get you're mad at your teammate. Like, that's fine. And you're allowed to be like, ugh, you know, I'm frustrated. I need to go talk to him. But this, like, high school level back and forth, like, nope. Mrs. Verstappen, Checo, he cheated on his wife earlier this year. And Checo being like, Max is a blubbering fool and sucks without me. Like, it's just all around just ugly.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of even overshadows the, I would say, the ridiculous animosity that it seems like Hamilton and Verstappen have towards each other, which I also just don't get, because they both seem to drive each other differently than they do anyone else in the field, and it doesn't work out for either of them.
Agreed.
So I don't really understand if there's just like beef there from last season and it's never going to go away, and they're just going to continually, when they're on track near each other, going to basically wreck each other out of the race, or one of them's going to have their race ruined by contact. It makes no sense. You would think, I mean, based on what we've seen, and I'm not saying that I prefer one or the other or that either of them is more or less to blame in this, but that Lewis would be the one to think about it more and say, you know what, I'll back out because that gives me a better chance of finishing the race without damage.
Yep, you would think so.
Yeah, okay, well, I feel like there's a lot more we could say, but I don't know if we need to.
No, I don't think we need to. I think we're just going to, you know, beat the point home to the point where nobody wants to listen to it anymore.
I think Max has lost a lot of fans, and obviously people who already hated him, who were probably fans of Lewis or, you know, other drivers, used this as an opportunity to say that, you know, not only did he crash into Lewis and do that on purpose, which I don't think it was on purpose, that he is also, you know, a terrible person for not even respecting his teammate enough to give back one position and listen to his team. So it's not a good look. We knew he was a brat, but this just kind of reemphasizes the fact that he is a brat. And I guess I would say that, I mean, Checo doesn't really look that good either. Like you said, he kind of came off like a spoiled brat too.
Yeah. So I think that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, all around. So let's get back to that incident with Lewis and Max on lap 7. Would you have given a penalty there? It sounds like from pretty much everyone that I've seen has given their take on it that is relatively knowledgeable about racing, that they viewed it as a racing incident and would not have given either party
a
penalty.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I agree. Like, I don't think I would have given a penalty.
Yeah, me neither. I feel like either one of them could have backed off and it would have avoided the incident. But I also don't think it was intentional by either party. They just, neither one of them, you know, backed down. So it was contact. It didn't really destroy either of their races. I mean, it didn't go well for either of them. I guess Lewis still finished second, but it didn't help them. So, yeah, I think the penalty was kind of unnecessary. Because then you apportion blame when really it's hard to do that. And their reasoning for
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
That Cooper shaking around over here, trying to get my attention.
Yeah, I'll step in while Cooper is entertaining you. I don't think it should be a penalty, and all the BS I saw on social media afterwards, yet again, is just, you're just showing your hate one way or the other. If you blame Max, you blame Lewis, whoever you blame, just stop. Nobody was trying to wreck each other out on purpose. Neither of them are going to do that. As much as they might drive each other dirty or drive each other tough, they're not going to try to crash each other on purpose.
Exactly. And I think we talked about that both of them are way too competitive. That why ruin your own race by using your car as a weapon and crashing someone else out? You're not going to do that. Because they both want to win. And they want to win beyond everything else. So that whole idea of, you know, Max did this on purpose, Lewis did this on purpose, whatever you're going to say, it's all a load of
BS. You know what?
Yeah. All right. I guess let's get into the general news, unless there's anything else from Brazil. We need to talk about other than George Russell getting first Grand Prix
George,
victory.
Good job.
Which we knew
was
going to happen
drive.
At some point.
Yeah, yeah, it was weird. I mean, I get it. It was a good drive, though. So, like, you know, props to him. But what were our predictions? I want to go through that since I predicted well.
Yes, you did. You predicted George Russell. And you predicted Esteban Ocon, who finished 8th. So your average finish was 4.5. I predicted Fernando Alonso, who got a top 5, did pretty well. But then I had Vettel, who finished 11th. So that didn't help me, and my average finish was 8th.
Hell
so you
yeah.
win. Like George. Maybe all the George hate will go away now. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll even be intensified after he won
something. You could have said that last year, like when Max finally won the championship. Like, oh, maybe Max will get hated less, and it didn't change anything.
True. All right, so I guess something that I wanted to ask you is, do you think this means that Ferrari has Mercedes has overtaken Ferrari in their development and is back to being the second fastest car? Because it looks like Ferrari has really
100%. Ferrari's not even close.
Okay, yeah, so I don't know if this bodes well for them next season, Mercedes, I mean. But maybe it'll be back to a Mercedes-Red Bull battle, just given that they were kind of able to get on top of their car. I will have to see if things continue to go well for them at Abu Dhabi. But what's clear is that they've definitely made some strides from where they were at the beginning of the season. While Ferrari, they look worse than they did when they had the fastest car at the beginning of the season.
I read something that was like, oh, we had to pause some of our upgrades because we ran out of money, sort of thing, but I don't know, they've fallen so far off, and some of it is self-inflicted strategy or decision making or car blowing up thing that, you know, you can't control. But I mean, they were by far the best team at the first three races of the year, maybe second best if you say Red Bull was slightly better, and Mercedes was way behind, and now Mercedes is doing laps around them while Ferrari twiddles with their fingers and plays Pokemon Go.
You really reiterating that.
How many Pokemon Go references can I make in one episode while slamming on somebody?
I don't know. Apparently, you judge people who play Pokemon
Go. No, I've never played it before. I don't know anything about it. I don't even know what it is, other than that you have to walk around for it. So it just popped into my mind. And if you like Pokemon Go and you're mad at me, I don't really care.
No, oh, I thought you were going to apologize. Okay. Double down on that one. So I guess let's just get at this general news. Based on that whole Ferrari thing, we have seen, and Ferrari denies this, but that your best friend, Mattia Binotto, may be out beginning in January of 2023 and will be replaced by Fred Vasseur, the current team principal of Alfa Romeo Sauber. Number one, do you think that that is the solution? Will that fix all their problems? And number two, should we believe these rumors, or are they just going to stick with Binotto?
I mean, they need a lot of work other than him. Clearly, their development has fallen off the table this year. Their strategy is bad. I mean, everything is not good there. So, you know, it's a lot more than him, but same thing. It's the same thing with any sports team. When your team is struggling, what do? You fire the coach, you fire the general manager, you start with the quote-unquote scapegoat. Now, not necessarily every team firing coaches scapegoat. Maybe he's just not, you know, worn out as a welcome or whatever. But in this case, you got to start with somebody. Who's the easiest guy to start with? Mattia. Is he actually going to get fired? Do I believe the rumors? I don't know. I legitimately don't know. I don't care about Ferrari saying these reports aren't true. That means nothing in any sport.
Yeah, they flat out lie.
Do I think it's going to happen? No, because I don't have faith that Ferrari is going to do the right thing.
That's where I was going.
I figured.
I see them, just continuing to stick with him because that's almost the most Ferrari decision is we can't make a decision. So we're just going to leave things as is and continue to watch them.
Instead, they'll just put some white paint on their rear wing next year and be like, throwback to a couple years ago when we were fast. Now we're going to be fast again.
Yeah. Talk about a brand just basically living on the coattails of its past success.
Yep.
Pretty incredible. Okay, so then last couple things that I wanted to get to. It's interesting that apparently Aston Martin, given what we said about Lance Stroll and his very overly aggressive defensive driving, Mike Crack has said that he's ready to just manage any altercations they're going to have and that there's not going to be a number one driver in 2023.
First off, I still laugh at his name every time. But, I mean, that's fair. You're also dealing with Fernando Alonso, so you have to remember who you're dealing with. And I like Fred. I think as a driver, hey, listen, he burns all his bridges, but he's mega talented. So,
yeah.
I don't think this could end poor. His attempt to say there's not a number one driver could end up making things worse in the end. Not now, but maybe, you know, by next summer if you know, Lance drives blindfolded into the side of Alonso, then, you know, we might have a problem.
So here's what I think this means, is that basically Lawrence Stroll, who obviously exerts a ton of power over the team, is unwilling to say that Fernando will be the number one driver, even though he knows that Fernando is going to be the number one driver. But he can't say that his son is going to be the number two guy, even though that's clearly going to happen. And so that's what this is. And that basically Fernando's just going to have to prove that he's the number one driver and they'll never admit it. But they also don't want to pretend that they're not showing favoritism to Lance, even though they obviously do, because I don't think Lance would still be driving in F1 if his father did not own the team. Like, yes, he's shown flashes here and there, but at this point, no way. He'd be gone. Like, look how many times Mick wrecked and he's gone after far less time. And he's got a famous name, right? And like he had connections to Ferrari. So, you know, you're not, I guess, invincible or untouchable in F1 unless your daddy is extremely wealthy, and even Latifi has shown that daddy's money can't do everything.
Yeah, I got nothing else to add to that one. You're right. That's a good point.
Apparently, getting to that Mick Schumacher, unfortunately, probably leaving F1. Let's hope he goes to IndyCar or something.
It would.
Pretty
yeah.
cool. Haas is set to announce Nico Hülkenberg for 2023. This doesn't excite me at all, and I know it doesn't excite you. He is someone who I believe has shown what he can do in F1. They're not getting basically any untapped potential. Like, they just know exactly what he's a safe set of hands, but they're not going out there and getting someone who they can win with, I don't think. I mean, I'd put him probably a similar level, maybe a little bit worse talent-wise than Kevin Magnussen. And neither one of those guys is going to be world champion. We can tell that. So they're really not being adventurous with their pick. They're just kind of picking someone who, I guess, is
It's not even the safe pick. Like, if you're going to move on from Mick, which I still disagree with, fine, whatever. But you're going to pick some 34-year-old, 35-year-old. Oh, God, I'm old. Nico's decently, I don't want to say old, but he's past 30, right?
Yeah, I believe he was born in 87.
I just called myself old without even intending to.
So he's same age as Vettel.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. But I didn't know if you wanted to admit that.
I've already dug myself a grave in this episode. But you're going for the old guy. I mean, this choice is like a wet fart.
1887, yes, everyone. Thank you. Sorry.
This choice is like a... This choice so I'm going to say it for the third time just because it's such a fun phrase. This choice is a giant wet fart. It's not exciting. It's
playing
this choice is like playing Pokemon Go while having a wet fart. It's just, it like, why? You're not... Nico Hülkenberg is not... He might score you points, sure, once in a while. He's not getting you a pole position. He's not getting you a podium. He's not getting you over the hump in terms of years of work, etc. This is stupid.
I guess arguably neither was Mick Schumacher, unfortunately.
Mick has not had a good year. He had a couple good moments. All in all, this year has been super disappointing for him. And I understand if you want to move on, even if I don't agree, I get their thinking there. But there has to be a more interesting option than Mr. Wet Fart.
Exactly. And I think they're being very boring, vanilla choice. I wish they had gone with some young driver instead of putting somebody who's already been in F1 for who knows how many seasons and had the chance to show what they can do. Cooper trying to make an appearance on the pod again. But they really just need to, this is what happens when, Cooper's other parent is not home and is out of town. He wants my attention constantly. But essentially, they're just giving another person who's been in F1, had their chance, a seat instead of a young person. So that's kind of disappointing to me. I wish they would have, you know, found someone on the F1 ladder system. But I guess that proves that it's broken.
Yeah. We'll save that rant for an off-season episode. I don't think I ever did it last year, so we'll do it this year.
Heck yeah. The last piece of news I want to get to before we talk about Abu Dhabi and the finale is that McLaren has revealed this special livery for the finale. Yeah, did you see this? I think it looks really
cool.
Good.
I didn't want to like it because their special livery, like they had one at some point this year and I was pretty disappointed. But it's also hard to compare anything to when they had the Gulf livery last year. So, but this is pretty good.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's fair. I can't wait to spend $87 for a hat when they release the merchandise.
Well, I will not because it, I mean, it's a vape.
Oh, is that
sponsor.
What, I didn't even look at the sponsor. Is it Views?
It's Views is the, like the main sponsor on the livery. So I think that kind of ruins it. Like Gulf is cool. It's just an oil company that's kind of, you know, automotive associated, but I don't really want to wear a vape product merchandise. I mean, that's just me, but hey, if it brings the team money, good for them.
Agreed. All right, let's talk about the last race of the year.
Yes, let's do that. This is Sebastian Vettel's final F1 race.
And maybe Ricciardo.
You never know.
Yeah, but that's less exciting.
It is. I just had to point it out.
No, that's a good point. I didn't even really think about that. Just like, he's not going to do anything in this race. Like, he's not going to have another Mexico. That was his best result. That was it. Vettel, I think, you know, may or may not score points and do some impressive racing in that car.
Yeah. Fair.
Let's get to the times for Abu Dhabi. They're not the worst, but they're not great. So we've got practice one at 5 a.m. on Friday morning. Practice two is at 8 a.m., which maybe. Practice three is on Saturday morning at 5:30 a.m. Qualifying is at 9 a.m. on Saturday, which that's very doable.
I can handle that.
And then the race is at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning. So that's
depends
not,
that's on not how my Saturday night goes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously neither of us are morning people, but 8 a.m. is not really early by any means.
It
is early.
Even though I don't sleep in that late, I still don't like being up that early. Unless I'm at a racetrack. If I'm at a racetrack, you can wake me up whatever time you want.
Fair. I mean, to watch racing, I'm also okay waking up early.
It's hard.
Normally.
Maybe it's hard just because I'm so over the FIA BS from this year.
I'm excited. I mean, it's still racing. I'm glad that we have racing until mid-November, because otherwise the off-season for other types of racing would be even more boring. And we have Formula E like starting back up in January, so we don't have time.
When does e-scooter start?
And
Extreme E.
Question.
You know, screw that. We are only going to focus on Extreme E next year, not even Formula One. Like, it's done.
They just released their schedule for
email.
Next year.
I didn't look at it.
But, I mean, it's even harder to watch than, like, Formula E, which has insane gaps on the schedule. Because I think they, have six rounds or eight rounds? With, like, months gap
makes
between.
No sense. The idea is, we'll rant about that another day. The point is, yes, I do appreciate the, I don't want to say the length of the F1 schedule, because it is a couple races too long, but it is entertaining. You know, at least we have some entertainment, even if I'm just like being old man yelling at the clouds, angry at most of the stuff that happens.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm happy to see racing. And I mean, I thought Brazil was probably the most entertaining race of the second half of the season
easily.
So far. That track produces some easily good racing. Yeah, I wish the finale was there, honestly.
Yeah, the finale's going to be a snoozer.
Probably. And Brazil used to be the finale for a long time, and it was awesome. But let's, I guess, make some predictions for the final F1 race of 2022.
All right, you start. I got to remember who's in this damn race.
Oh, so I realized that your two picks were both in the top 10.
Didn't we change? Like, last week, we just did pick two guys.
Yeah, but I picked someone outside the top 10, so I, handicapped myself.
Snoozy lose. Got to play the game.
You mentioned that. Yeah, I mean, if we can pick people that are both in the top 10, then that's going to change my decision-making process. Okay, so let's see. Who do I want to pick that I think will be successful? That's not really obvious. Like, I think we have certain people at this point that are not off limits, but that are too obvious.
Yeah.
To pick. Who's going to do well at Abu Dhabi? I feel like I can't pick either Ferrari because they're just throwing it away. Lewis is almost too obvious, and Russell too.
You've eliminated like,
I don't want to go with Alonso again because I just
eliminated like 50% of the top 10 finishers for this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. I'm trying to be more exciting. And you picked Ocon last week. I don't know. I guess I'm just going to go with, let's say Checo gets some vengeance this week.
All right, I'm going to take Lando.
Okay, yeah. Maybe he'll be over his food poisoning by now.
Go ahead.
My other choice, I guess, is going to have to be... There's such a gap between, like, the haves and the have-nots this year.
It's painful.
I picked Checo. You know what? I'm picking Alonso again.
All right. I am going to take Carlos Sainz.
Okay, that was who I was considering. All right, so you had Lando and Carlos. Oh, my God, Cooper, you're being so bad today.
Well, I am so sorry. I just... I just forgot we were recording there.
Gonna have to edit that.
Should I just leave it in there so everybody's like, wait, did it end?
They're gonna think it ended without your catchphrase.
And I got distracted by the dog. The dog came in. He was standing on my legs. Yeah, you know, let's just wrap it there. Everybody have a lovely weekend of racing.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.